Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is the Reverend Dr. Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. For more information about all the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. That's BROOKLANDBAPTIST.org. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 041821. 041821, heads I win, tails you lose. Come from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Can I get personal with you? You in Bible study know that years ago, I used to always say to people, I'm tired. Somebody asked me, Pastor Jackson, how are you getting along today? I said, I'm getting along fine, but I'm tired. How are you getting along, Reverend Jackson? I'm doing pretty good, but I'm tired. And I kept saying, I'm tired. I kept speaking and I kept repeating it. I'm tired. And all of a sudden, yes, I actually became tired and I was always drained and I always felt exhausted and depleted. And I said, wait, I got to change something. So I had a shift in my mindset. And so instead of saying, I'm tired, I started saying, I'm going to get some rest. Watch this. Instead of saying, I'm tired, I said, I'm going to get some rest. And then all of a sudden, I started making opportunities for me to get rest, because what we see and believe is what we look for and receive. Glory, hallelujah. So when we find ourselves going through some circumstances, we got to be careful of our focus. Yeah. Everybody has some problems. But instead of focusing all the time on your problems, focus on your problem solver. Yeah, you're going to get sick. Yes, and it's all right to admit that you're sick. But in the midst of your sickness, you make sure that you've got a relationship with your physician, your doctor, and do what your doctor so instructs you to do. But the main thing you need to do is keep your mind on your the healer. Because God is a healer. We talk about what we're going through. You talk to some folk, every time you talk to them, they say, Pastor, I'm just going through. You talk to them a couple of weeks later, how you doing, honey? Yeah, I'm just going through. Take your mind sometimes off what you're going through and put your mind on him who's able to bring you out. Everybody has financial burdens from some time or another. Most of us anyway have some financial challenges. And instead of worrying ourselves sick over our lack of finances, we need to put our minds on and focus on what Paul said in Philippians 4 and 13 when he says, for 19 rather, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. It works for some. It can also work for you. I know some people who've been unemployed for months and one month, but somehow every time you look around, God will just make it a way. We've got to focus on him who's able. You've got to focus on he who's our creator God. You've got to focus on him who is our heavenly Father. Yes, we find ourselves having some difficulties in this life, but we are not to be weary. We are not to let the forces of this world pull us under. Our destiny is influenced by our thoughts in many ways. Well, it is. I think it's Proverbs 23 and 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his mind, so is he. You see, it is not your circumstances that have you down. Oftentimes, it's how you think about your circumstances that have you down. Let me say that again. It's not so much your circumstances that have you depressed, but it's how you think about your circumstances that have you pressed. We become oftentimes that which we think. Let's go to the text now and see what the text has to say to us about this. In our text, Jesus had just been resurrected. And as I said to you on last Sunday, he stayed around Jerusalem for some 40 days with his disciples. And upon being resurrected from the grave, he declared all power is in my hands. All power, listen, all power is in my hands. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. He was laid in Joseph's tomb. But early the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And when he got up with all power in his hands and ascended to God the Father, he was to take his seat at the right hand of God. The exaltation of Jesus to the right hand of God was a position of power. Stay with me here now. Was a position of power and authority. He was returning to God who had sent him. And upon returning to God, he was seated in a position of power. So therefore, he met with the disciples in his final departing words in that 28th chapter read by you, Austin Garrett. And he left these final words with his disciples. Beginning with verse number 18, he says, all power in heaven and in earth has been given to me. All power, not some power, but he says, all power in heaven and in earth. I want to show you how God gave this to me now. All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, this is really something to rejoice over. On Easter Sunday, we rejoice over the resurrection of Jesus our Christ. He's risen. Last Sunday, we rejoiced over Jesus thinking enough of us to entrust us to finish the unfinished business of the church. This Sunday, we are rejoicing in a Savior who has all power. And what Jesus is really saying to us when he says, I have all power in heaven and in earth, what he's saying to us, my beloved, is this, that he makes his power available for you and to you and in you. He's got all power. So he's going to make it available in earth, on the earth, to you and me. Good God Almighty. John talked about it in the opening verses of that first chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. He says, for as many as received him, Jesus gave power to become the sons and the daughters of God. Power. He's given us power. Glory, hallelujah. Romans 8 and 9 is where Paul picks up the same thing. And he says, you are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit. And God's spirit dwells in you. All that is saying to us today, my beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we've got a power inside of us. And so it does not matter where the coin falls, which side the coin lays. We've got a power. Oh, y'all hear me there? We've got a power inside of us. I don't care. It can fall on the head. I'm winning. If it falls on tail, my enemy loses. I'm on the top because I've got a power that's inside of me. How do I know that? In Psalm 34, we like talking about Psalm 34, 1, 2, and 3. But in Psalm 34 and 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. Oh, glory, hallelujah. And then 1 John 1 and 4 says, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. I don't care who Satan is, how Satan might attack us. I don't care who your enemy, how bold, brazen, bodacious, or braggadocious your enemy might be. You've got a power inside of you. So however the coin falls, glory, hallelujah, you win. However the coin falls, you have to understand that you're on top. Talk to me, Jesus. Talk to me, Jesus. Help me understand, God, how it is that I always win. Well, when you look at John chapter 16, verse 33, watch this. Jesus says, be of good cheer.
right? He starts out by saying, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. Ye shall have opposition. Ye shall have enemies. Satan will attack you as long as you are in this world. But then he goes on to say, you can be of good cheer. You can keep on smiling. You can keep your head up. You can keep on walking tall. Why? Jesus said, because I have overcome the world. And because I have overcome the world, I have overcoming grace. And because I have overcoming grace, I will give you overcoming power. So my beloved Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how the coin falls, we can overcome it. It doesn't matter what side, whether it's heads or tails. It doesn't matter what your situation might look like right now. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are right now. The Lord told me to tell you, you win. Somebody say, I win. Somebody say to the enemy, you lose. Because I've got a power inside of me. All right, Pastor Jackson, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you, Pastor Jackson. Help me understand then, how do I come to a win-win situation? How do I toss this coin in the air and whichever side it falls on, I still win? Well, the first thing that's important is this. You got to position yourself. You got to position yourself. It's all about having the right relationship. If you want to win regardless of the circumstances, first of all, you have got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about being a member of the church or singing on the choir, serving on some ministry, being a part of some board or committee or commission. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Relationships are important. Having the right relationship is very important. It's vital to our success and our abundant living. That's why parents are concerned about the relationships their children develop among their classmates and schoolmates and playmates. They're concerned about them having a right relationship, a good, wholesome, healthy relationship, because relationships can either make you or break you. I wish there were some not so young persons who wouldn't mind making known to the younger person, the teens, of how well they were doing at one time and they were in college and then they got involved in the wrong relationship and they never were able to graduate from college. They never were able to recover that which they had lost. It happens sometimes, and that's because you can get in the wrong relationship. How many have ever heard your parents say, don't follow the wrong crowd? They know something about how mischievous a kid might have been. And they said, and they don't mean any harm. They said, I don't want you engaging in a close relationship with him, close relationship with her, because I see something. And you can get caught up with something. And a whole lot of good children, good students, good persons have found themselves in wrong relationships. And as a result of wrong relationships, they made some bad decisions. And they did some wrong things. And it had difficulty trying to get back on the right track. It depends on your relationship. I say all the time, and I'll always say it, whoever has your ear has your destiny. You've got to be careful about the persons you listen to. Relationships are important. So we want to be careful, young people, to choose good friends, friends who are trying to do what we are trying to do, friends who are trying to go somewhere, have something, and be somebody, friends who love the Lord Jesus Christ and want to be in worship to praise God from whom our blessings flow. Friends are important, but the friend, our friend, is Jesus our Christ. So we need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to hold you too long, but rather quickly look at the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, if you don't mind. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, the story of a rich young ruler. And this rich man came to Jesus and asked Jesus, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He thought he had to do something to earn salvation. When he said, "What shall I do?" he was thinking about performing an activity. There was some activity that would gain for him eternal life. But eternal life is not a result of activity. Oh, I'm saying something here. You see, the way he phrased the question made him wiser than he knew. He said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" We don't inherit because of what we do. We inherit because of who we are. Inheritance doesn't have anything to do with an activity. Inheritance has something to do with a relationship. You inherit from your parents not because of what you do. You inherit from your parents because of who you are. I'm trying to bless somebody here now. You inherit because of who you are. You are a son of your father. You are a daughter of your parents. And because of the relationship you have, you inherit. That's all I'm trying to say to you today, that if you want to win-win, regardless of what the circumstances are, you got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Invite Jesus to come into your heart and into your life, confess your sins and say, "Lord, I want to live for you. I want to live for you just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood has been shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." If you want to win when the coin falls on heads and don't want to lose when the coin falls on tails, be sure you're in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Position yourself in Jesus Christ. Then secondly, you need to be prayerful, all right? All right, I want to win regardless of what the circumstances are. And my circumstances right now are unfavorable. Pastor Jackson, I want to win. So be prayerful. You see, a prayer life helps you to keep your focus. A prayer life helps you to maintain perspective. Watch this. A prayer life helps you to keep God number one in your life. If you're not prayerful, you're going to get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of life, and all of a sudden you can find yourself losing focus. And right now, we are vulnerable to losing our focus. So much changes through which we find ourselves going, so much controversy, so much chaos, so much craziness, that if we're not careful, we can lose our focus. Prayer unto God enables us to keep our focus. We talked about it briefly in Bible study this Wednesday. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought to always pray and not faint. If you pray, you won't lose your focus. If you pray, if prayer becomes a habit, we want prayer to become a habit. We want you to pray and pray every day. If you pray every day, you won't lose your focus. The Bible says you won't faint. Pray. Pray. Prayer draws us closer to God. Prayer draws God closer to us. We got to be prayerful. And then I want to ask you something. Young people in particular, I want to ask you something. I'm so glad that a number of you are here and you're listening to me very intently as I look upon you. I want to ask you something. Do you know of anyone who is praying for you? Watch this. Do you know of anyone who is calling your name in prayer? Everybody needs a prayer partner. I've been pastoring for 50 years, and there has never been a time that I've had not had a prayer father. I've always needed somebody to whom I could go and call up and say, "I need you to
call my name in prayer. I need you. I don't ask them to pray just because I stumped my toe or because I got a little fingernail that's hurting me. But when I'm facing a dilemma at the Brooklyn Church, I'm about to make a major decision. I call them and say, I need you to pray for me. After one passes, Reverend Bernard Davis, I get another prayer father. My prayer father currently is Pastor Lemuel Myers of the Old Macedonia Baptist Church in North Augusta, South Carolina. When I find myself in a tight, I call my prayer father and I tell him, pray for me. Young people, do you have a prayer partner? Do you have or know of anyone who's calling your name in prayer? And I'm not talking about having your name in a general prayer. You know, we're growing up, you know, parents teach you to pray. You go to bed at night. Before you go to bed, you pray. That's what they because they know what how important prayer is. And so when you conclude your prayer after you've learned to pray that now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep me about you, die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You move from there and then you start trying to pray. And then when you pray, you end your prayer by saying, God bless mommy, God bless daddy. And then if you got some siblings, you say, I call God bless everybody's name. And you say, God bless so-and-so. And then you say, and God bless everybody. Well, you don't want to be in an everybody prayer. Good God Almighty. I'm trying to help somebody here now. You don't want to be in an in of everybody trap. You want somebody who's going to call your name in prayer. Lift your name before the throne of God's grace because there's still power in prayer. Prayer connects with the power that God has entrusted in us. And we need prayer. We need prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. I'm going to close in a minute. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything. I tell God everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything. Everything to God in prayer. So young people and not so young people, pray and get you a prayer partner and ask your prayer partner that whenever they talk to God, ask your prayer partner to call your name in prayer. Because when we are prayerful and we position ourselves, we can toss the coin in the air and it doesn't make any difference how the coin falls, we win. We're going to end up on top. So we need to position ourselves. We need to be prayerful. And rather quickly, we need to praise God. Watch this now. Watch this. Watch this now. I'm going to win. I'm on the winning side. Regardless of how the coin falls, I'm going to win. And I know I'm going to. That's my mindset. Why? I'm going to praise God. I just read it for you as we began. When I came on, I said Psalm 22 and 3 says that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. So when we praise God, we are telling God, God, I have joy in the name of Jesus. I've got joy, J-O-Y, Reverend Jackson Jr. gave me the acronym for joy. Jesus on you. Jesus on you. So you see, when you praise God, you're saying, I've got Jesus on me. Glory, hallelujah. So when you praise God, you're not trying to show off. And you're not trying to show others. You are showing God that you've got Jesus on you. Now let me remind you now, everybody doesn't praise God alike. Everybody doesn't praise God like I do. I jump up and down, I shout, and I used to be just like Elder Mark Richard. I used to have, because I have high level energy. But some folk don't have the high level energy, but when they praise God, I've seen them sometimes when I'm preaching, I've seen them sometimes when the choir is singing. They just sit there and a smile comes on their face, and you know there's an anointing on that smile, and you know that's the Spirit of the Lord that's moving on them, and they're praising God with a smile. Because they know God is smiling on them. So everybody doesn't praise God alike. But you ought to praise God to show God that you've got joy on the inside. Joy all over you. Joy on you. We know that there is salvation in the name of Jesus. We know that there's victory in the name of Jesus. Some of us can witness that there is healing in the name of Jesus. We know there is deliverance in the name of Jesus. But I come to tell you today that there's joy in the name of Jesus. You may not have received your breakthrough yet, but you can still have joy. The strongholds may not yet be loose, but you can still have joy. Your sickness is right around the corner, but in the midst of your sickness, you can still have joy. You're in a financial strait and not so sure how you're going to make your way out of what you're going through, but you can still have joy. Talk to me, David. Come here, David. Come here, David, and tell me about it. David will tell you in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Talk to me, David. He says, my soul shall boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And then David invites us when he says, come, oh come, let us magnify the Lord and exalt his name together. Praise God. The elders used to teach us that when the praises go up, the blessings will come down. When praises go up, doesn't matter which side the coin falls on, you know you're going to come out on top. When the praises go up, victory come down. If you don't mind right now, some of you don't mind, stand on your feet with me. You who are on the inside, if you're not on the inside and you're watching by live stream, wherever you are, just praise God, however God so leads you to praise God. You might want to stand, you might want to clap your hands, you might want to pat your feet, you might want to smile, but let God know that you've got joy. That you've got joy. That you've got joy on you. All right. You got your quarter? You got your quarter? You got your quarter? When you have positioned yourself in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and when you have a prayer life, and when you praise God because he has already put this power inside of you, doesn't make no difference how it falls. Doesn't make any difference which side it's on. You win. The enemy loses. Heads, I win. Tails, you lose. You see, when you are attacked by the enemy and there's frustration and disappointment, try not to focus on the frustration and disappointment by watering it or nursing it or nurturing it. Keep your mind focused on him who's able to do all things and has promised that whatever side the coin falls, you win. You win. I want to invite you. Come on.
This concludes the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. Enough to obtain a copy of this service in its entirety, please reference number 041821. 041821. Heads, I win. Tails, you lose. Give us a call, 803-796-6103. 803-796-6103 is your number to call and include this in your library. Please continue to join us as we stream live each and every Sunday morning at the hour of 11 a.m. on our website, or you can view us on Facebook or download Brooklyn app, and you can be in tune to everything that goes on at Brooklyn. I want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for all your support, and we pray that you stay in the Word of God.